Welcome to Make Today Count, your 60 minutes of fresh conversation served up to inform, educate, and inspire your personal brand. I'm your host, Ross Dean, and each episode I chat to thought leaders, influencers, and experts in their game who all have one thing in common: the desire to go the extra mile, pushing against the status quo to create a richer life for both themselves and those around them. Powered by compassion and driven by the need to leave the world that little bit better than when they arrived. Okay, hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Make Today Count. Another fantastic episode for you today, all the way from New Jersey in the United States. Owner of Mindful You Fitness, we've got C. McDermott. C, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Thank you so much for your time today. Really interesting topic today, and something that is one of those kind of things that I think many people have maybe seen banded around, a phrase that's been banded around through maybe on Instagram, or maybe they've seen it come up in different places. But what I really wanted to do today is kind of get into a conversation around this kind of phrase, the mind-body connection. And I know it's something that you're super proactive around in the work that you do, and the, you know, your business, Mindful You Business, you know, shows that in its title itself. But what I'd love to do before we get stuck into the conversation, if people haven't come across the work that you do before, can you just give us a little bit about your backstory and kind of how you got to where you are today, please?
Sure. So I've been in and out of the fitness industry for about 19 years. I was a trainer like through college. I work full time in a different industry completely, but I've kind of always had a fitness background and personal fitness in general. And then I've been teaching bar classes for the last 3-4 years, I think. And I've been doing a lot of other personal training on the side, but I kind of was missing a little bit of that connection. So I felt like a lot of clients were coming in, getting it done. Oh, hey, good, I'm done for the day and I'm out of here. And then like just leaving it behind, instead of kind of more living like a fitness lifestyle, that lifestyle that you need to maintain, because people kind of fall off track and then they wouldn't return, or, you know, constant reminders. So I think that whole life integration of saying, okay, like this is part of my day and I'm enjoying it. Like I like it. I found something I enjoy. And then I was able to kind of incorporate that into my own business where I could actually bring that to people. So we incorporate mindful meditation before or after workouts on our rest days. And it's more of a mindful lifestyle. So every day we have like a daily check-in and a mood assessment to see how your consumption, which would include, you know, media, social media, you know, if you're staring in front of a Netflix all day, and what you've eaten and everything, you know, just to kind of pinpoint where you are nutrition wise, just to see how it affects your mood and your body and your mind. Like if you've eaten something that maybe didn't sit well with you mentally, like why are you stressing about that? I know we've talked about this relationship with food, but I always think like food can't break up with you. You're not in a relationship with it. Like it's keeping you alive. But you can eat the things you enjoy. You just need to be mindful of it, you know. You have to be aware of how it makes you feel mentally, physically. And same with our consumption. If you stare at social media all day, you're going to feel a certain way, and you should take note of that. And if you want to continue to do that, that's great. But you need to know how it affects you.
So, I mean, obviously fitness is something that's been, you know, apparent in the whole of your life. Is it something that you kind of got into when you were younger, or is it something later in life?
So, I was always a runner. I ran a bunch of marathons, ran like Boston Marathon and everything. And then when I had kids, I just was like, this is a lot of time, you know? And I was always a little bit of a gym rat too. And then when I had kids, I was like, this is too much time. My kids are 3 and 5. So I haven't run, I guess, in 5 years. And then I took up bar, and I kind of found my way into more strength training and HIIT classes, which I had been doing like a long time ago. And I kind of came back to. And the idea of just kind of taking that time to like move your body and do what you're supposed to do, move your body every day, right? And like kind of appreciate that you can move your body. And whether it's just like stretching, I used to do a lot of yoga. I'm not currently like a certified yoga instructor, because I think that's a whole other realm, you know, and a lot of people just kind of make that their full life is yoga, which also has a nice you know, full circle method to it. But I think the integration of that mind body connection is what really makes a difference in being able to stick to a goal. And honestly, like just living that life, like maybe it's not even a specific goal. It's just to like live your best life daily.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of being able to keep that, like, it's not a conscious decision every day. I spoke to someone the other day who said, well, I always feel like it's a thing when I'm eating healthy. Like it has to be a thing. I'm like, no, it doesn't have to be a thing. That's just how you live after a while. And you just have to find what you enjoy, what you like what workout makes you feel good and stick with it. And then again, like if you get bored, switch it up, change it around, you know. If you like cycling, check it out. If you hate running, you don't need to run. There's plenty of ways to move your body, but you don't need to do that.
I think for many of us, you know, and certainly for the people that I chat to on the podcast, you know, what they're doing now often comes from a time where they thought, you know, I want to make that switch. Maybe it was a calling that they found, or maybe there was something in their lives that kind of changed and they thought, this is what I really want to do. Was there a kind of a moment for you where, you know, obviously, you know, sport and fitness and running was a big part of your life, but was there a moment in time when you kind of thought, this is what I really want to focus on, this is what I want to do, and kind of like the essence of where, you know, your fitness company came from?
Yeah. So I think I pretty much just was like, I'm kind of always chasing the idea of like, hey guys, after our class, we're going to do like a little relaxation, and trying to kind of like push that on people where they're like, oh, this is nice. And then people started saying like, oh, I like doing this little relaxation. Really, it's a meditation. They just kind of didn't really know if they weren't familiar with meditation. But after the cool down, we're like, we have a few moments. It's just like in yoga, how you do a shavasana. And so people started saying, oh, I really like doing that. And then I kind of moved to more HIIT classes, like high intensity interval training, and, you know, like doing like more body weight exercises. And then after a while I said, well, what else do I know very well, which is meditation and kind of mindful living, which I've been doing before it was a buzzword. I've been doing meditation for about the last 12 years on a daily basis. And I've studied a lot of meditation. So I was like, I do this personally, and I just want to be able to bring this to other people. And during COVID lockdown, you know, I'm spending a lot of time, more time with my kids because I'm working from home on my day job. And we had a lot more time, and the kids really didn't have any activities, and they're still really small. And I was like, what am I best at? Like, what is my strength? And it's most certainly training people, fitness classes. Like, it's a great energy. I love doing it. It doesn't even feel like a job to me. It really is fun. And actually in the first 2 months of COVID, my studio where I teach bar, we did for free streaming just to keep everybody's spirits up. Yeah. So I was like, I think I need to like bring that mindful connection, especially in this time, to everyone. So 2 months later, I was like, let's recertify, let's get this business off the ground. So I just started it back up, and I'm like, I'm going to take something bad like COVID and just make it into a positive and do what I do best and try to bring it to as many people as I can and make it affordable for people. It's mostly women, a lot of moms, but I have some dads too. And just that time to focus on yourself and then take it back to your family and like have a better life.
That's really interesting. And you know, there's never been kind of a more opportune time as we're in at the moment to kind of focus on some of these wellness aspects to really get ourselves in a better place. What have you kind of seen from the people that you've worked with, you know, since you've been doing the online, you know, sessions and that kind of thing? What's been the real benefits for your clients when they've been, you know, navigating through this COVID pandemic?
So most people have never really done a serious meditation practice that I've come across. I think most people start with like a guided meditation. So I have recorded tons of guided meditations myself. And people seem to really just be like, oh, okay, so this isn't really a big deal. I don't need to be on a mountaintop. I'm not, you know, sitting cross-legged on a cushion. I don't need to like ditch my family. I'm like, hey, just, you know, it does have to be like a quiet space. In my like intro to people, I tell them like, you know what, if you're a mom, especially, since I totally get it, I have two little boys, the bathroom has a locking door. I like sometimes just sit in the, you know, like it's the only time. And I'm like, all right, the kids aren't up yet. They'll be up in a minute, but like 2 minutes to start. And then people are like, oh, that's meditation. That's easy. Okay. And then same with, and mindfulness and meditation are two different things, but even just with mindful living, like I've found a lot of people are like, oh, you know, with COVID, there's just so many horrible things going on, right? But we don't want to ignore the negative. So I definitely tell people, like, acknowledge those negative thoughts, right? Like, oh, the gloom and doom. And, you know, you watch the news and things. And again, that comes to the media that you consume. But it's like, focus on those things, right? And we focus on them for problem solving. Of course, if you are going to lose your job, you know, you figure out what you need to do, you acknowledge it, and then you move on. You just can't dwell on those negative thoughts. So we don't want to ignore negative thoughts. And I think a lot of people have had like this whole good vibes movement, good vibes only, you know, and I'm like, I always tell people it's human vibes, man. Like you have to feel how you feel, you know, you're human. If you didn't have negative feelings, you would never problem solve. So once you get past that problem solving stage, you don't need to sit in it every day. You need to acknowledge it, move on. Now, if you wake up feeling like that, acknowledge it. And then, you know, next thing, it doesn't always have to be sunshine and, you know, puppy dogs and ice cream, but we need to acknowledge those, you know, bad things about COVID and then move on each day. Hey, maybe there's like a silver lining here. Maybe you have a little more time at home. You don't have that grueling commute anymore. More time to read a book. You know, there's definitely a lot more space for mindfulness, which is why I think this is such a great time for people to kind of get their head around how easy it can be. And it's free, you know, actual mindfulness is just free.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point that you made there, because I think for many people getting into this stuff, it's exactly that. They think it's got to be all positive thoughts, all going the same way, you know, block out everything else that's maybe challenging. And that's what we need to do. But that's not how life is and how you said there. And I think there's a Tony Robbins quote that says something like, it's like going into your garden and sort of meditating. There's no weeds. And you can't do that because the weeds are going to be there. But it's just acknowledging that. And I think that's a super important thing to think. And I think when you start to think in that way, it kind of takes some of the pressure off. Would you find? Because I think, absolutely, you know, it's just having that sense of, you know, whatever's happening is happening for whatever reason it needs to be, and just embracing that, and then focusing on the positive aspects of what you're doing, but just acknowledging that, just I think it just brings the shoulders down. It just kind of puts you a bit more at ease, would you say?
Yeah, and I think part of mindfulness, at least, and I think that mindfulness can kind of be different for everyone, but my idea is, you know, having that in the back of your mind all day, like, oh, this horrible thing is happening. You really do have to focus. And by focusing on that negative thing at one time, like you're not also doing 16 other things and just thinking about it in the back of your head. You take the time and focus on that and problem solve. And, or maybe there is no solution and it's just is what it is, but you just acknowledge it, accept it. And then you can go on with your day and it's not in the back of your head. And that's when like the stress starts to come down. We don't have this nagging feeling of, you know, again, the COVID doom that's surrounding everyone. Like you're acknowledging it and maybe you have to acknowledge it every hour. You know, it just depends on where you are. Or maybe you only have to acknowledge it once a week if you've been lucky, you know? So it's easy for me to say that because I haven't had any direct family members affected by COVID. But again, like it's been a very big change and it's hard to see, like, you know, it's hard to see your kids not socialize because of this. Yeah. And, you know, it's changed a lot of people's outcomes in their life. But again, like you won't have that negative nagging in the back of your mind by just purposely one thing at a time. That's mindfulness, kind of looking at that problem right now in front of you and then moving on.
And swinging back to I guess the term of, you know, this mind body connection, you know, if someone was to come and, you know, if you're stuck in a lift with someone and they were asking you, you know, what exactly is it? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you, C?
I think I just see a lot of people when I've taught more in-person fitness, I've seen so many people. I'll say, you know, oh, just, you know, and I'm correcting form, particularly in COVID times, because you can't physically touch people. So I have to be much more verbal, which I've learned a lot more about verbalization. I can tell you that. But I'll say, you know, move your left hip over just so you're properly aligned. And then I'm like, no, your left hip. No, your hip. No, that's your foot, you know? So I think people have a hard time connecting with their body, really. Like, I mean, your mind is telling your body what to do without you thinking about it, right? But yeah. You should think about it while you're, for instance, if you're doing a push-up, like think about your body doing it. Don't tune it out. You know, I know a lot of people like would get in the gym and like blast music, and I love listening to music. It's definitely motivating, but at the same time, like I want to make sure that I'm in proper alignment, but when you have that body awareness, because you're saying, okay, now I'm going to have my elbows tight to my body. I'm going to lower myself down in this push-up. My legs are straight. I'm pressing back into my heels. So you're almost verbalizing it to yourself in your head, and you're really paying attention to the physical movement. But that goes beyond fitness and back to, you know, what you ate and how you feel. Like, you know, do you have negative feelings about eating this dessert? I just find so many people have hangups about food. It's like, do you have negative feelings about eating this dessert? Then is this like some sort of, you know, destructive behavior to eat this? Or is this just something you enjoy, you know? And having that, like, that hang up about a food can really make you feel physically bad. Or you can just say, hey, I enjoy this food. I'm celebrating and I can have this thing, you know, whether it's cake or green beans, you know, it's like, how do you feel afterwards? What's that connection? And what is your mind telling you when you have it? You know, if you start to get into the repetitive nature of fitness, does your mind start to wander off? Are you thinking about your to-do list and your email and exactly like what you're going to do later? Oh, I have to go pick up those Christmas gifts, you know, or are you focused? I'm moving my body. I'm here in this space. Like, you know, I'm doing this right now. And again, that's kind of also mindfulness, but the mind-body connection is, it's so clear when a person kind of doesn't understand it or if they get it.
It's really interesting when you mentioned there about food as well, because I guess for a lot of people, that's something that's really different, because for a lot of people, I'm guessing that you know, eating their meals is something that's very unconscious that they do, you know, and that's maybe where they have some of the kind of the challenges around what they're eating and that kind of stuff. Do you find that with clients? Is it kind of a sense that they just have never stopped to be mindful whilst they've been eating the food that they take in?
Yeah, I mean, we have such a go-go-go culture. And you know, it's the same there, but in America, particularly the East Coast, we're so, you know, I mean, like people eat in their car and, you know, it's like just kind of always going. And I get it. We're in a society that celebrates progress and, you know, speed. And I'm also very busy, you know, like I get it, but, eating in front of like the television, and I'm guilty of it too. Like I'll look at my phone when I eat my lunch. Sometimes I do like a little lunch at my desk, but not just kind of paying attention to what you're eating. And I think convenience is so big for people that they hit the drive-through and they get the takeout and things. So they're not really paying attention to where their food even comes from, let alone like how it tastes, how it makes them feel. Like I'm just such a home cook, and I always have been, but like my kids have no idea that you can get fast food. They don't even know it exists, you know? So we always cook at home, and you know, well, we're lucky because we live in, funny enough, no one would know, but in New Jersey, there's a lot of farms, and we actually get like local beef, and we get, you know, all kinds of farmers markets, and we're actually like fresh apples and all kinds, you know, so we go to the farmers market with our kids and they know where the food comes from. Like that's such a big aspect of it. Like this is someone, you know, a farmer took the time to take this out. And even if it's a farmer that put it in the lettuce in the container at Whole Foods, I mean, it still happened, right? Like somewhere somebody did that. And then you're kind of like, take a moment to realize like I'm eating vegetables that make me feel good. I'm eating this like heavier thing that maybe doesn't make me feel good, or this heavy thing that does, like it fuels me and I need extra calories today. I'm extra, you know, physical. And that's just such a great connection. But I think so many people are just on their phone, on the computer, you know, on the go, in the car. And I get it. Like people are busy. Like no one knows busy more than a mom in New Jersey, trust me. But it's, and it can be hard sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I really have to like get some food in me. Like I'm on the go all day, but just a few extra moments to like prepare your own meal, to be able to take something, go. And it takes, you know, some food prep maybe on Sundays, and it takes a little extra before the work week starts, but the little extra time that you take can be even just the preparation of food can be mindful. That's like a nice time that you can like put aside for yourself to work, you know, to work hard for yourself. Here I prepared my meals for the week, my kids' lunches, whatever you need to do. And then you can kind of enjoy it a little bit more. But when someone hands it to you through a drive-through window, it's probably not quite as special.
Absolutely. On kind of the movement side of things, I know that you do specific kind of types of movement and you enjoy specific types of movement. But when it comes to mindfulness, can any type of movement be mindful, or are there certain sorts of movement that generally are better to bring yourself in tune with your body?
No, I think any movement at all. And sometimes it's just walking. You know, I actually took up walking during COVID because I'm working from home. Mm-hmm. But any movement at all, because it's just your body intuitively moving. So maybe even it's just stretching out. It's not a full yoga practice. Maybe it's just kind of stretching out your hips, taking a little forward fold in the middle of your workday, rolling your shoulders back, like actively just thinking like, you know, my neck's a little sore from sitting at my computer. We all do, right? And you kind of roll your shoulders back. Even in just intuitive movement. And then of course I prescribe people actual workouts. And then with a lot of different workouts, breath work can come so handy. So like Pilates, yoga, strength training, you know, and I, like I said, I teach a lot of breath and bar, which people don't think has anything to do with bar, but it can. And yeah, any movement at all. I mean, even just like a walking meditation. I mean, half the time, I don't think people realize if you're walking on your own and you're not listening to music and, you know, you don't want to like stream a podcast while you take a walk, you just kind of notice the sounds, the sights, the smells around you, even if you're in a busy city or you're out in the country, you know, you hear the car go by, and that's all just kind of that movement that you're paying attention, you know, and just intuitive movement. We know how to walk, right? So any movement at all can be made mindful, and even sitting still can be made mindful as well. But yeah, I think strength training lends itself pretty well, and cycling, really anything you can think of. Swimming is a great one.
And that kind of term mindfulness, you know, I think for a lot of people that maybe are just starting out, they perhaps don't know the difference, if there is a difference between mindfulness and meditation. How would you kind of explain kind of both sides of that coin?
So I think meditation is more, usually it's more still, and you know, you can sit or lie down and meditate, and you're usually more almost like in a trance, you know? So if you've driven your car and you're kind of like thinking about something or almost daydreaming, that's more of a meditation. You park your car and you're like, okay. So you were driving, right? And you know how to drive, but you're like, how did I get here? I mean, not like fully, like you forget, but you know, you realize you were in like a little bit of a trance. That's kind of like a little mini meditation, even though you're moving and you're doing things, but your mind's kind of taken over. I think mindfulness is more focused on what you're actually doing. So it's almost like the other side of the coin. If people wanted to start a mindfulness practice, I always say to kind of start in the kitchen, because most people have a kitchen and most people go to their kitchen once a day, right? So when you enter your kitchen or you're in your kitchen, you find yourself, I like to do while doing the dishes, because not many people like doing dishes, but mindfulness isn't about enjoying like the good moments, right? Like decorating the Christmas tree in this beautiful picturesque moment. Like, yes, of course you want to take a moment and you enjoy it, but also like doing the dishes isn't always fun, but you can stand at the sink and you're saying to yourself, and this is literally mindfulness, I'm rinsing off this plate. I'm putting this plate in the dishwasher. I'm doing dishes. That's it. You know, it's so simple. And people are like, that's what mindfulness is. It seems like a ripoff. We were promised this great big revolutionary thing. It's like, no, that's kind of it. And, you know, again, like I do the dishes probably most of the time if I'm not actually actively trying to practice mindfulness. What are you thinking about? You know, oh, I should go get that from the store. I have to order that from Amazon. You know, you're going over the to-do list in your head, or maybe you're going over the fight you have with a coworker. You're kind of just replaying the day or going through the day that you have to come. So you're looking either in the past or the future. You're very rarely looking at like, there's a plate, you know, like there's a plate in front of me. Or you look at the plate and you're like, this has a chip in it. I should get a new plate. And then you go off in that story. So you're kind of always going off into stories in your head, which is normal because that's how we survive as humans, right? Again, like to the problem solving and really just thinking ahead to make sure that we survive. I mean, it's part of our DNA, but at the same time, we have so many things going on. what is not in our DNA is to do 90 things at once, right? So to just take that time to focus, you know, I am here, I am doing this thing, and it's not always pleasant, you know, it's not always joyful. Maybe it's just something super mundane and boring, but take care and realize like, oh, I'm washing this plate. And isn't it nice that I have this plate? Isn't it nice that I have a family to wash this plate for? Something that you can almost practice a little gratitude, which I know is another buzzword, which always drives me crazy, but it is. You have to just be grateful, and you don't have to do it every moment of every day because you drive yourself crazy. But just a few extra moments here and there, and you'll notice that you really do physically rewire the brain to be able to kind of focus on one thing at a time.
Now, definitely, you know, gratitude is something that that I build into my life through a practice, both in the morning and the evening. And for me, it just kind of, in the morning, it kind of sets myself up for the day, gets my mind thinking in where it needs to be focused. And then in the end, just giving thanks to, you know, that day that's passed. And I think that's so powerful. And I think, like you say, it has become such a buzzword. And I think because of that, people kind of almost kind of want to steer away from it. But for me personally, that's been so kind of transformational in kind of how I plan and how I reflect on my days. That's in, you know, at the end of the day, that's then helped with my sleep at the end of the day, and all these other aspects. And I think, you know, it's something to certainly just to start to discover, because it can be really powerful. And I think it comes really nicely with mindfulness, because it kind of comes hand in hand, don't you think?
Yeah, it's definitely a part of it. I know that's kind of just when you actually are taking the moment to really feel what you're doing, it kind of comes up organically.
No, definitely. With a lot of these, you know, there's huge benefits from a lot of this stuff. And I'm guessing that clients come to you because, you know, they see all the fantastic work that you're doing and they want to kind of get involved. Are there any kind of key triggers for people coming to get into this stuff? Does it usually evolve kind of work stress or anything else? Is there any kind of trends that you've seen with clients that have come into you to work with you?
I think lately it's definitely been COVID stress big time. But I think most people, it seems like a lot of parents again, like I think it's tough to be a parent right now, you know, like and pre-COVID, it's kind of tough. We're dealing with a lot more things. And my big fear myself personally as a parent is social media and when do I allow my children access to all of this information that's out there, you know. I think that stress wasn't there. I mean, the biggest stress most parents has done in like every survey lately is when to get your kid a cell phone, when to access the internet and all these things. Like that didn't even exist for my parents. So they had it easy, you know, but I think most clients seem like they're dealing with work stress, family stress, and people usually want to work on their fitness first because they say, oh, I just want to lose some weight. And then they'll be like, well, now that I've lost a little weight, I want to kind of improve somewhere else, you know, and kind of take it a little further and maybe start changing lifestyle and then maybe start bringing back to my family and my spouse. And then even like maybe to their kids and maybe teenage kids. And I know like there's a lot of programs for kids learning mindfulness, but children are kind of naturally mindful, which is nice. I think we have a lot to learn from them. So I find when I tell clients about different mindfulness exercises, they'll say, oh, my kid kind of does that without even realizing, you know? So it does seem to be mostly honestly parents. That's my big, and again, like work and family stress is, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, during these times, did you guys have to like homeschool kids and that kind of stuff as well, you know, whilst they were away from school? I know because we had to in the UK, we had a time when all the children were away from school, and then we had to the lessons were sent and we had to kind of be teacher for a few months.
Luckily, the same my for you children guys? Well, most people did. So my kids are too small. They were not in preschool, and one was in preschool, so it actually worked out well. We did like some reading lessons and stuff just because he would have normally been in preschool, but we were actually kind of in the sweet spot where they were not like babies, but we didn't have to homeschool. But I've heard so many nightmare stories, and a lot of people who are like, my kid's just starting out in school, like how are they going to learn? And that's been very stressful. I have a lot of friends in New York City and their schools were completely shut down, and they're all in really tiny apartments. I don't know if you know that about New York. They have really small apartments, and they were stuck more or less indoors. And that I know so many people expressed so much stress over that. And I think, yeah, it was a lot of people did kind of turn to the internet for resources and for de-stressing. And I know like meditations, like my meditations all had a lot more views during school time.
Yeah. And I don't know if you hear this from clients as well, but certainly for me, it's been the case whereby, you know, as I've gotten more into my own meditation practice and gratitude practice and all those kind of things, it's kind of like, you know, who's around you kind of picks up. So, you know, the kids will start asking questions about, because mine are a little bit older, about, you know, what you're doing, Dad, you know, why are you sleeping, why are you sitting out, all that kind of stuff. It's been really nice actually, because it's then been something that we can then share. And then, you know, because I just use the like the Calm app for guided meditations. You know, they've got some great kids stuff on there as well. Which is really good. And what has been actually really good as well is that, you know, they've got a full suite of kind of like sleep stories and things like that on as well. And in moments when the kids have been maybe a little bit anxious about what's going on or something like that, you can just pop those on and they're out. It's been really lovely, I think, to be able to share that with them and to, in the process, give them another skill or another kind of tactic to give them as they move into their own lives and think, well, you know, this is going to be benefiting me. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts from a lot of this, especially if you have children, where it's just another skill where you can set them up for something that's really powerful later on.
Yeah. And that is actually the positive side of all the internet, right? Is that we have access to all this, and almost anybody can access it with any kind of an internet connection, and the various streaming services all have so many great kids things. And I'm not like a big kid media person. Like I kind of really regulate my kids actually, but the meditation stuff is so great. I have a few that I have the kids listen to since they were kind of small, and I have little boys, they don't want to sit still, you know, but they will sit with me and do like the little story that they kind of drift off to sleep. Now my kids have never actually fallen asleep to it, but they're too crazy, because I don't know, it's just their age, I guess. But they always enjoy it, and they do know, and they'll do like this little rainbow meditation that we do. I mean, I don't know if they find it like funny at this age because they're so small, but they are growing up with that around them. My husband's a huge meditator too. So like even the other day I was like, oh, where's Daddy? Oh, he's up meditating. Yeah, so they know that that's kind of normal. And we really have normalized that in our house now. Hopefully when they go to school, everybody else thinks it's normal. but I think normalizing that now, there's a lot of programs in schools here. And I've heard the same in the UK, that there's a lot of programs within the schools where like they get to school and kids are pretty hyped up, you know, they've just eaten like a sugary breakfast maybe or something. Yeah. And they all see all their friends and then they have to sit down and now it's okay, quick focus. So I know there's a few programs where they do like a mindful minute and like they take a few moments, deep breaths. Like both of my kids know the deep breath thing. I mean, my son the other day, I did lose my temper and he said, you know, 2 minutes of silence in the car, and said, how about we all take a deep breath? Like, you know what, you're very right. I had to laugh. I'm like, okay, he broke the tension and I am sorry that I lost my temper, because we all do, right? But children are so good at it, they know, and they pick it up so quick too. So I just really hope this next generation, because they have all those resources, are able to kind of just live it, you know, instead of being taught it in their 30s like we have, they'll just be able to live it the whole time. You know.
No, definitely. I think for many people, they can kind of acknowledge, you know, for meditation and mindfulness, the benefit of in the now at the moment, you know, how it makes them feel at that time when they're doing it. But I think you'll agree that there's so many other benefits that come after the meditation or after that element of mindfulness. And I wonder if you could just speak a little bit about that, because it's certainly something that I've noticed in the way that it then sets me up for the rest of the day in between those sessions. You speak about a little bit about that and kind of what your take is on what the benefits are across the board.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's actual physical benefits too. There's been a lot of studies on this, you know, decreased blood pressure. You have like, you can actually, I mean, people have been noted to control diabetes. But, you know, neuroplasticity is still very new, and that's a whole other podcast on its own, but but they have found, so I mean, you're literally rewiring your brain with just your thinking, and that is, I mean, it's physically true, and it's kind of amazing that science is such a part of meditation now, because it used to be so like woo-woo, and now it's becoming more science-based, where real, you know, scientific authorities are saying, no, that's real. Like, do meditation, do mindfulness. It's changing your brain. But even just from the aspect, it's a big one for me that I always tell people, is that it makes you less reactive in your actions. Yeah. And that does carry through your day. And that really is just, you know, and again, they've done studies on this, but, and I can quote a million studies for you, but they basically just, you know, you're taking the moment, that one little pause before you react. And whether it's, you know, in your workplace or at home or in your car, you know, you don't have that instant reaction, you're less reactive for sure. And that makes a huge difference. I think that's probably the biggest difference for most people in their daily life, that they probably won't even notice. They'll just realize like, you know, I seem like a little calmer, you know? And then of course the physical aspects, where you can just lower your blood pressure, is a huge one for Americans. We have, everybody's on statins here. So blood pressure is the issue, but, and just really moving through the day with a better mindset. And I think we have a lot to do with mindset right now. People are talking about mindset, but what is it, right? Like, it's kind of the same idea as mindfulness. Like, we move in a more purposeful manner. Like, you know, you're not just even just physically like slumped at your desk at work. Like, maybe you're paying a little more attention to your posture because you feel a little more proud because you've kind of started the day properly. And I think it does build a lot of confidence in people too. And I know I've had clients, particularly women usually, that are more like timid at work, or maybe don't speak up in meetings, and they feel a little more confident now. And, you know, that, and that goes hand in hand with physical training too. You feel a little physically stronger. You feel a little more confident. You feel a little more like you can sit upright a little more and kind of assert yourself more as needed. And usually women have more of an issue with that than men, but definitely setting yourself up with that positive aspect of the day, you know, instead of waking up and, oh, another day, it's going to take forever.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, I kind of see it as kind of like going to the gym for the mind, in the way, you know, you go to a physical gym to work out, to have those benefits. And I think meditation serves in a way that you can build that muscle, as it were, because, you know, the brain is a muscle in itself, to just build that resilience. So, you know, if things come up in the day that before may have stressed you out, or maybe you feel a little bit fractious, I think through meditation, certainly something I've found, is that, you know, you become more resilient, and you're able to kind of like, it just kind of bounces off you a little bit more, and just enables you to be just a little bit more settled. And then when you're in that state, your focus is just so much better for everything else that's got to be going on. And so, you know, that's really interesting. And also, you know, we're not just talking about personal, I'm guessing, as well. We're talking about the knock-on effects in, you know, for business owners, and, you know, if you're in work or doing certain types of jobs, there's benefits that come out in business, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny. I think, like I said, people usually are like, oh, meditation's for people out, you know, you have to go to a mountaintop and all. But if you look at most wildly successful, like real business brain people, they're all meditating in one form or another. And many of them are meditating. Yeah. I don't know. There was like a Bill Gates special recently, and he's like, oh, I started taking up meditation. Like, I'm not very good at it, but I'm trying, you know. But Bill Gates is used to being really good at everything. So, but you can't be good or bad at meditation. But, you know, he's taking it up because he needs to quiet his brain, right? I mean, he's just kind of always a thinker, but all the really successful people that you know of, and people you know personally, and then again, like these pseudo celebrity business owners and things, they're all practicing meditation. You know, that's the only way to kind of get through a day when you are like so high functioning.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, when you start to do something yourself and you start to see the benefits, you kind of want to tell a lot of people about it. And I find in my personal experiences that when I start to share about meditation and the benefits that it have, you know, some of the sort of pushbacks you sometimes get, which are the same pushbacks I would have probably had earlier on as well. Things like, you know, I've got too much on my mind, I can't sit still, that kind of stuff. Do you come across those kind of pushbacks as well sometimes?
Yes, for sure. So people always say, well, I can't sit still. For meditation, you really don't need to sit still. It's helpful for sure. But I always tell people, like, sit for a minute or two. And if it feels better for you to make it a moving meditation and sit cross-legged on your floor and like kind of roll your shoulders forward and back and roll your torso in front of your legs and back, that's still meditation. If you're moving and you feel like your body needs to move, then do it. Again, it's intuitive. So you know what your body needs, or at least as you progress in the practice, you will learn what your body needs. And then eventually maybe your body will come to stillness. But I always tell people in my live classes, like, you can stand still here, place a hand on your heart, a hand on your belly, just to kind of feel the energy going throughout, right? You kind of keep it almost like in a circuit in your body. You can feel your heart beating in your chest. You can feel your belly because you're breathing in and out, you know, inhaling and exhaling, observing that breath. But then if it doesn't feel good for you to stay still, then don't stay still. Sway your hips, move your head, like roll out your shoulders. It's so individual, you know, but some people can sit forever. I know I went to a meditation retreat, like, oh my gosh, long before I had kids. It was like a decade ago. And it was like the first day I was like, oh, it's just 45 minutes of sitting. I was like, that's easy. Oh man. I was like, my hips hurt. I was like experiencing so much physical pain. Like, how are people doing this? And I was a runner at the time. So I was like, oh, maybe I'm just like really tight, you know? And then they're like, someone's like, oh, you can sit in a chair. And I was like, no, I'm going to power through, you know. It was like, that's not the point of meditation. You're supposed to relax. But it was like, I was new to it. And there were some seasoned people in the room, you know, and they're just sitting perfectly still. And I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do this. And of course, I made it like competitive. And then it was like, that's not really the point. And I think by the end of the weekend, I was like, oh, okay. So I wasn't sitting properly. It wasn't good photo for like a meditation magazine. I definitely had like my left leg splayed out and I was kind of leaning on the wall, but I was able to sit still by the end. And, you know, but that's an extreme case, of course. But again, like if you're sitting, I think most people will also say a big excuse I hear, not excuse, but you know, a big thing people will say is, oh, I can't stop thinking. I'm like, you're not thinking in meditation. That's not the point. You finally sat and kind of gave your mind a moment to talk to you. So of course it's going to have a lot to say, right? Because finally you did just stop all of the excess, right? All this stuff outside. So now your mind's finally trying to talk to you. And again, this comes to biology, is like this survival mechanism. Like, oh my gosh, we're sitting still. What do we do now? But your mind's going to want your attention now, right? So then people constantly have thoughts, but even the best, you know, best meditators, it's not a good or a bad meditation, but even people that are very seasoned at meditation will be like, oh, of course you're thinking, but you just acknowledge that thought and then you move on, acknowledge the thought and move on. And sometimes there's times where in a 3-minute session, you'll acknowledge 300 thoughts and move on. And sometimes you do a 5-minute session and you're like, oh, I only acknowledged like 10 thoughts because you had less, you know, you just happened to be that kind of a day. And it's different day to day, but your mind will always kind of wander. You're always going to be talking to yourself, right? Again, that's just how we are, but that's not a reason to not practice meditation. It's actually the best reason to practice meditation.
I think that's key. You know, sometimes the pressure we put on ourselves because we've got to get it right, whatever right means, you know, it could be so, you know, detrimental. And I think exactly what you spoke about before around when you're washing the dishes, anything I think you can bring into your practice and your life that you would do anyway and sort of attaching things onto it, I think works really well. Is there any other things that people can kind of do? I'm guessing things like brushing your teeth would work or something like that.
Yes, exactly. That's a big one. So I actually always, when I get in my car before I start the car, even when I have my kids in the car, I usually take like 3 breaths, even if it's just like to myself and silent, or when you park your car before you get out. Now, if you're like a commuter, maybe you worry when you sit down on the subway, but just something that you do every day that you're able to connect with that habit. So again, brushing your teeth is a great one. And maybe it is just finding 5 minutes in the day and actually scheduling it in a calendar, which feels pretty funny, but nowadays that's what we are, you know, it's a modern society. Schedule your meditation. But we schedule everything else. Why not? Right. Like we more or less scheduling Netflix. We schedule our Instagram posting. Why not? You know, I mean, meditation should be way higher up on our list than some of the other things that we deal with. So just connecting it to an everyday thing or even every other day thing to start, you know, it doesn't have to be every day. Maybe it's just weekdays when you go to work. Or, you know, when you're in the elevators, taking 3 breaths is a great start. And just feeling where you are, just a tiny little reset, just a little like mindful reminder. In my program, I have mindful reminders set, and they're usually around lunchtime. but I can change it per person. And it just comes up as a alert, not alert, but, you know, like a little thing in your program. And it says, take 3 deep breaths, note how you feel and move on with your day. And that's it, you know? So it's not a huge commitment to be able to be mindful just, you know, at noon every day or something. So it's just starts small and it starts to build on itself, and you will see such a difference that most people will be like, oh, okay, this is actually way easier than I thought. And, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated and it doesn't have to be expensive. Like, it's just, you know, you don't have to buy all the gear for it. Yeah. You can just do it.
You know, I think there's a lot of people that will listen to our conversation today and they'll think, you know, this is something I want to get into, and maybe they'll look for someone to kind of help them with that. What advice would you give to someone that's kind of looking for a coach around this stuff? What should people kind of look out for?
So anybody that you can just connect with. I think maybe I actually do like guided meditations on certain apps and everything. And I have found people that I kind of like, oh, I like the sound of this person's voice, you know? And then sometimes I'll start a meditation, I'll try out something different. Or even when I was starting out, and I'm like, you know what? This person's voice just isn't for me. And that's fine. You know, it's just like, I don't want to fall asleep to this person's voice. But then somebody that you connect with too, there's tons of like meditation, actual just meditation coaches. There's tons of mindfulness coaches. There's emotional intelligence coaches. But so you just need to find somebody that you find, I mean, just somebody you connect with, somebody that you're like, I want to listen to this person, you know? And then somebody that knows what they're doing, experience, and like, you want to look at some client testimonials. And, you know, and I think most people do offer some sort of a free intro to check it out. And there's no shame in being like, this isn't a fit for me, move on. And you know what, if anyone's a good coach, they totally get it. And they'll never be upset or hurt. It's just what it is. And then, you know, it's not for them and they move on. But most places, most people, most, if they're in a physical location, they allow, you know, for like a free week or anything. My training has a free week, so if it's not a fit, no harm, no foul. And then, you know, hopefully you find somebody else.
Yeah. And just to, so people have a sense of kind of what it's like working with someone, can you just give us a bit of a background as to how you would work with a client? I'm guessing there's, I know that you've got access through your website where people can get planned, but how does it kind of start off? Is it someone, they come to you and say, look, this is what I want to get into, what are the next steps?
So private training that I do in person is a little bit different, but the online training I have is a great program. It's just you can sign up through my website. Again, you can try a free week to see if it's for you. You get 4 workouts per week. They're different strength training and like body weight and different exercises. It's all guided. There's little videos and written descriptions for every move. And then you can message me, and there's message and updates from me through the app or the mobile version. So it's really nice to be able to kind of interact in this time, right? Because it's kind of hard. But I have people that aren't physically anywhere near me, which is kind of cool because I can talk to people from all over, which is always fun because I like talking to people. But and then you get little, you know, in the evening you check in. I usually have it scheduled for 7 for most people. It's a little check in, your mood assessment, like, how are you feeling? Like, how many hours did you do this or that? Did you work out? Did you, you know, eat too much sugar? Like, these things that you can kind of just reflect on. And again, no shaming in any of this. This is all just noting, you know, we just note it. That's what kind of this mindfulness and meditation is all about. You're noting it and then you're moving on. Like, we're not going to dwell on the fact that maybe you were on social media for too long yesterday. No big deal. You know, you note how you feel, you acknowledge it, and you move on. And then I have a lot of information available to people, and it's all kind of, again, in the app, but just little reminders about healthy living in general. I have a lot of recipes, like plant-based recipes, and they're all stuff that I make my family for sure. So it's all stuff that I've made up. Like I said, I've been like a lifelong cook. and I do like a lot of baking recipes, but I do a lot of kid-friendly recipes too. Like, I make little quinoa cookies and stuff, but no refined sugar, but very little, low in sugar. I substitute with maple syrup and stuff a lot. And then a lot of good dinners too, family friendly dinners, and very plant-based. But like I said, we still use, you know, grass-fed beef and things when we can, just not a lot of it. But we do mostly plant-based in my house. It's kind of, I try to integrate a lifestyle into it so that people get like the full idea of it. And then you're kind of covered on all bases. You like sign in for the day, you check it out, you do your workout, And again, you get those mindful reminders through the day. So you get a little more lifestyle involved. So it's not just like, oh, I hit my workout for the day. I'm done my 45 minutes and now I move on and like never think about it again. Like, no, you're going to think about how you're living through the day. And, you know, and again, that mind body connection throughout the day.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds amazing. And I think, you know, what I think people really appreciate from the way that you construct the app and how you deliver the content is that there's that kind of connection there as well. I think for a lot of people, maybe they would go to YouTube and find a video and then start it and then think, am I doing this right? Should be doing this right? And there's no kind of connection with the person that's kind of made that content. So I think you'll agree in that there's so much value in being able to, okay, so I've done my workout now. I just want to check in with C and make sure everything's okay.
Yeah. You know, and okay. What's great too is tracking. So I have, you track, and some people are like very into numbers, right? So some people want to track, like I did this many reps, this many weight. Okay, and then I did, you know, and I even have like a meditation tracker if you want, you know, you don't have to track it if that's not your thing. If you're like not into numbers, some people love that. Some people are like, I need it to be accountable, but you track how many minutes you meditated today. How do you feel? So that tracking is so nice for people. And then we can check in about it, you know, like, hey, what was going on that, you know, 3 days went like this. You know, do you want to talk about something? You know, you can kind of move from there on it. So it's nice. The tracking is super helpful. And again, like I think those YouTube videos, which I've definitely done, you don't have any of that accountability. So accountability is a big one with any program.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, the things that I've found, you know, my own kind of fitness and that kind of stuff has been community connection. You know, they're not the things that people immediately think of when they think about working out and stuff like that, but they're so powerful just having that accountability, you know, giving you that time and space for you to show up and be accountable is so powerful. And that's how people get the results. I think you'll agree, you know, with tracking what they're doing and being in a connection with a coach or a community. It can be really powerful for anything that we do and any goal that we're making, whether it be business or in our personal lives or that kind of stuff. You obviously help, you know, there's clients that you obviously helping at the moment. Is there any been kind of stories that have stuck out, success stories where you've thought you've been really proud of or that you've been able to create a really positive impact on someone's life?
Yeah. I mean, people that have just been, even just from the very start, like, wow, this just made a difference in my day. You know, that always feels so great. Like, I'm so glad to share anything I can with other people. Like I said, this doesn't feel like a job to me. It's just fun as what I like to do. Like I have a day job and it's not my favorite, I'll be honest, which is why I think this is almost, I told my husband yesterday, like, I think this is more my self journey and being able to help people than anything, which is, and again, I've had so much fun with this. I built it from the ground up and people have been so nice in like receiving it. And then just people just saying, hey, that was a good day. That was a fun workout. Like, thanks, you know, like that just makes my day. It makes me happy to be able to bring something to other people. And again, I'm no expert. I just am trying to, you know, nobody's perfect again. Like there's definitely days where I miss the mark, but it's just nice to be able to be like, this is what I'm doing. If you want to join me, that's so cool. You know?
Yeah. It's the best way to be, isn't it? You know, it's everyone wins in that way, I think.
Yeah. And I guess that's the other thing. It's because I have a day job. I'm not super like business motivated. You know, I'm kind of like, well, this is fun. So it's, I am definitely driven and I take my business very seriously, but I'm not like, you know, on Instagram DMing people to try to get clients or anything, which is nice because I feel like it is more of a connection. It's a little more organic. Like, hey, if you're into it, come join me. If not, no big deal. Maybe check out some of my meditations on YouTube. It's free. Check it out. You know, hopefully it makes somebody sleep better tonight.
Of course, yeah. So this, I mean, the podcast is called Make Today Count. And for the reason being that the podcast was set up so that people could get involved with interesting conversations, maybe about topics that they hadn't come across before or kind of wanted to get into with some really interesting people. And then kind of like if they felt that it kind of resonated with them, the content resonated, that they the next day could take one step into moving. And we all know that, you know, sometimes when we get excited about something, we want to kind of do everything. And what we know from experience in that is that we just end up doing nothing. So what would you say if someone was thinking about, you know, they were listening to us today and they thought, yeah, this mindfulness, mind body connection stuff might be something I want to kind of start to discover. What would be a good kind of first step to get them on the right track, do you think?
I think adding just a meditation throughout the day, or even just that mindful moment again, like my starting point is always just doing the dishes. So take that moment. I'm here. I'm doing my dishes. Like maybe turn that into a little bit of gratitude, 30 seconds and 1 minute, you know, grateful that I have dishes, that I have a home, that I have this ability to do the dishes physically, and then kind of just move on with your day. And then as you start to incorporate that, then maybe, yeah, maybe find yourself more of a meditation practice moving into like an app. I know there's tons of apps out there, and finding a meditation that's guided or just sitting for time, you know, just set a timer on your phone so you know that you can get up and get back to your workday. Or if you want to take it a step further, again, find a coach that you resonate with and, you know, just make those daily changes, start to cook for yourself a little bit more if you don't already. And over time, again, this is not a quick fix. This is like a lifestyle. So it takes a long time. It's not always going to just be like, okay, good, tomorrow now I'm mindful and I meditate and now I'm super fit and I'm also healthy all around. Like it's a slow process. And, you know, there's a lot of like 30 days to this or that, like, you know, that's a great start, but it's, you got to keep it going. Build those habits.
Yeah, it's really great advice. If people want to kind of get in touch with you, see, I know they can go over to mindfulyoufitness.com, and that's where you've got the free trial for the program that you have. Is that the best place for people to kind of contact you through?
Yeah, so they can go to my website, mindfulyoufitness.com, or you can go to my Instagram page, which is at mindfulyoufitness, and you can always instant message me there, or you can email me c@mindfulyoufitness.com. and check out all my stuff. I have just started writing a little blog. So I just have like a little bit of like mindful living ideas in there and things. Yeah. So just like people were kind of asking more about like some little tips and tricks and stuff. So I was like, oh, I'll just write it down. So you can check that out too. And you can just roam around the website. There's also some meditations on YouTube under Mindful You Fitness. Okay. I'm kind of adding more all the time. I kind of just popped on YouTube in the last month. So yeah, you can check me out there. If you like what you see, you can always come to the website. And again, those are all accessed through my Instagram as well.
That's perfect. I'd like to kind of thank you for your time today. I also like to finish off the podcast with some gratitude. So just to give gratitude to you for all the great work that you're doing in the world. I can see from your Instagram and all the feedback that you've had from clients and that kind of thing. You're doing some really great work. And I think, as we spoke before about, you know, how we can, you know, these are skills that we can pass on to our children as they go on into life, was one of the best benefits of anything that we can do. So just thank you for all the work that you're doing in the world. And it's been really great to talk to you today.
Thank you so much. It was great.
Thank you so much. So guys, if anything has resonated with you in today's conversation, what I love is just to get some feedback. You can get in touch with C over at mindfulyoufitness.com, and also through myself via the podcast show notes page, and all the links or everything that we've spoken about today will be in there as well. Also, if you haven't yet, we'd love you to subscribe, so head on over to where you're listening to this podcast and feel free to give us a review and subscribe also as well. And also, if you're looking for a safe place on the internet where you can join other proactive like-minded people to really get a glimpse of what it takes to make a really solid and robust personal brand, just search for the Elevate community over on Facebook as well. But until next time, I've been Ross Dean. This has been Make Today Count, and I'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.